welcome again, express appreciation for your being here. And again, we say it so often, but again, we say it sincerely. It's just good. Good to get together, so appreciate your desire to be with us very, very much. There is an outline in the bulletin this morning. If you'd like to follow along through the lesson as it's presented, they titled it, Consider the Son of God. I gave you a different verse in the introduction than what was read to us because I wanted to key on the word consider. But in the scripture reading that was read to us, there was a listing of reasons for us to give consideration to Jesus, the Son of God. And the verse that we look at the word consider in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3, it says, For consider him. Meaning there's something about Jesus that deserves our attention. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners. It's an interesting phrase. We don't say that or use that phrase very often, but it means consider him that endured the opposition of those who were sinful or wretched or wicked. Or consider the opposition that Jesus had to face, that contradiction of sinners against himself, the verse continues. Lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. So Jesus, in our lesson this morning, sets the standard when we start thinking Christianity is too much. Important point. When you start thinking, I can't do this Christianity thing, oh, give Jesus some consideration. Because look what he went through. He set the standard. When you think, oh, I can't endure this Christianity, I'm thinking, what's the use? Oh, consider Jesus. When you're troubled or you're tired or you're weary or you're just kind of discouraged, you're down and out, where's the resource that's going to build me up? Oh, the verse says consider Jesus. Otherwise, you may become wearied. And that's the example there. You know, when I start looking around, I see empty spaces, and I know there's some reasons for that. But I want to address those, or maybe you can share this lesson with those who may be a little over here. And say, oh, I just don't feel like it today. I don't want to attend the assembly. I'll catch up to it next week. Oh, yeah? You know, we need to give Jesus some consideration. I don't feel like it. Give Jesus some consideration. I'm not mad at anybody, but I'm just simply saying, in your disgusting or discouragement or down and out or weariness, why are you forsaking the assembly? Now, I'm preaching to the choir, so to speak. You're here. But the verse says, if you don't, as a prescription for weariness, give Jesus consideration. Because look what he went through for you and for me. So here are some things to consider in our lesson this morning. And by consider, I gave you a definition. I mean, give it careful thought. Deliberate on it. Take the matter into account. Consider. Give it thoughtful attention. Thoughtful attention. Not just a, oh, yeah, okay, I thought about Jesus for a moment. No. Consider, the verse says. That means ponder. Contemplate. Let me spread this out a little bit more for you. Scrutinize. Examine. Think about. Reason. Be mindful of. I know you get the point. Jesus deserves more than just an, oh, by the way, I'll take a glance. Otherwise, you're going to become weary. And maybe that's the reason why there's some blank spots in our auditorium this morning. Because maybe there's one or more that, again, that might be a legitimate reason for not being here, but I'm saying there maybe there's someone that usually sits beside you who just got a little weary, and they're just kind of lackadaisical in Christianity, in Christian living, and they're just, not today, I'll catch up next week. Really? Now, let's here's some things to consider about Jesus. There's more, but consider these things I've listed for you. Number one is purpose in coming into the world. The angels announced to the shepherds, "For you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." When you consider Jesus, consider what, why he came, to be a Savior. The angels announced to Joseph, "She'll bring forth you a son. You'll call his name Jesus. He will save his people from their sins." I need a Savior. So when I'm kind of down and out or frustrated, discouraged, walking this way, like, oh, look what's happening in my life. Oh, yeah, I have a Savior. Picks me up. Number two, you have the other verses I have listed. So I encourage you to read those on your own. You can outline that way for self-study. But number two, consider his knowledge, his understanding of what he would endure. You know, and I put this in words, the suffering, the crucifixion, the scourging of Jesus was not a surprise to him. That's a hard thing. Oh, I think I'll go this direction because I know up ahead there's going to be a crucifixion. And boy, let's go. He went that direction. He knew the end of the earth, what the end of this earthly road would be. And yet he goes. Get that consideration. In Matthew 20, verse 17, it says, Jesus going up to Jerusalem took the 12 disciples a little apart in the way, and he said to them, "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man," notice the list as I read this, "and the Son of Man shall be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes. They shall condemn him to death. They shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock, to scourge, and to crucify. Oh, but he'll rise again the third day." That's right. Jesus doesn't falter in his mission. Even with the knowledge that he would be scourged and ridiculed and crucified. So when you're feeling a little bit, I'm just not up to worship today to make the assembly. Just feel a little, just out of sorts. Really, why don't you consider Jesus? You think he felt out of sorts? Think he might have been a little bit discouraged? No, I'm going to go this direction. Number three, consider Jesus willingly accepted that cross. He knew what lay ahead, and he accepted it. Wasn't a spur-of-the-moment bravery with no time to think. It wasn't a reluctant action. He wasn't forced. He marches to that end. Matthew 20, verse 28, "The Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." He knew that. He willingly accepted that. Give that some consideration. In John chapter 10, verse 17, Jesus said, "Therefore does the Father love me, because I lay down my life." I lay down my life. Sunday morning, 10:30, worship begins. I'm going to lay down my life. It's going to be on the sofa. Oh, really? No, Jesus didn't do that. "I'm going to lay down my life." You know, he even helped himself with the arrest in the garden. With his arrest. Here come the soldiers, chief priests, to arrest him. And in John 18, verse 4, he says, "Whom do you seek?" They told him, I'm the one. I'm the man. Verse 8, because they didn't believe it. "I told you that I am. I'm the one. I'm the one you're looking for." Jesus in verse 11 of John chapter 18 says, "Peter, put up your sword. Put your sword away. The cup that the Father's given me, shall I not drink it?" So now you and I make a choice to live Christianity. We've made that decision. We even sing a song, "I have decided to follow Though none go, one verse says, though none go with me, still I will follow. My cross I'll carry. Consider Jesus. When you start to feel faint or just not up to it, oh, consider Jesus and what he went through. Give him a good look. Number four, consider his silence before his accuser. Isaiah prophesied that. Isaiah 53. He opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter. Well, even the high priest was impressed with that, because Jesus appears before the high priest during that crucifixion scene, that trial scene. And the high priest says, he answered nothing. What is it that these people witnessed against you? The high priest said. And then says, but Jesus held his peace. Then he sent before Herod. Herod questions Jesus. In Luke 23, verse 9, says, you answer nothing. Nothing. Now he's before Pilate. And in Matthew 27, verse 14, says, he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Why the silence? I'm going to answer a question for you. Why the silence? See, remember, it's prophesied that Jesus would be condemned even before he was tried. And when Philip preaches to the Ethiopian in Acts chapter 8 and verse 33, Philip goes back to this scripture that the Ethiopian was reading in Isaiah 53. And he even reminds the Ethiopian in his, quotes Isaiah, in his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Oh, his judgment was taken away. In other words, what Jesus is going through was an unfair trial. It was a mock trial. Now, any discussion or debate or argument wouldn't do any good. In today's language, we'd say, oh, that's what we call a kangaroo court. We're just going through the motions. The decision's already been made. And that's what happened with Jesus. Their mind, pride, and prejudice, anything Jesus said wouldn't make any difference. So in his judgment, humiliation, we decided. Give that consideration. Number five, consider Jesus' agony on the cross. And the horribleness of crucifixion you're very well aware of. It was described in the Bible and history books and movies. We know what crucifixion looks like. We even sing a song in number 354 in our book, and it's titled, I Gave My Life for Thee. And the last phrase of each stanza says, what have you given for me? Consider Jesus' agony on the cross, what he gave. Number six, consider Jesus' consideration for others. See, with all this consideration of Jesus, that should move us to steadfastness. That's the purpose of the lesson this morning. When you consider everything that Jesus went through and it was on our behalf or for us, then what little trivial thing, I'm not going to slack off now knowing what he went through for me. So consider his concern for others all through the agony of the cross. It's kind of remarkable to notice that he's thinking of others and not himself. And that was the business of the cross. If I'm putting myself on that cross, I'm thinking, man, I'm saying to these people, I'm going to get you for this. Consideration for the persecutors. Father, forgive them. You know what they do. Consider the world of people. In Romans chapter 5, God commends his own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So here, when you consider Jesus, consider his concern for others. Then consider his resurrection. Matthew 28, verse 5, the angel answered the women that came to the tomb after Joseph and Nicodemus came for the body of Jesus. They put it in the tomb, and then all of a sudden, the first day of the week, the ladies come. And the angel says, fear not. I know you seek Jesus, the angel said. He's not here. He's risen. Consider his resurrection. Number eight, consider his ascension to the Father's right hand. Ephesians 1, verse 20 mentions God's power of God, which he wrought in Christ. Well, how do you know God's all powerful? Well, creation. In Genesis 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God created. Oh, yeah, God's powerful. But then this other verse in the New Testament says, God's power which he wrought in Christ. When? him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Oh, power. Number 9. Consider Jesus coming again. When he was ascending back to the Father, leaving this earth 40 days after his resurrection. And on that 40th day, the disciples and the others are gathered in the right place. In Acts chapter 1, verse 9, says, when he spoke of these things, he was taken up. Cloud received him out of their sight. They looked steadfastly, the Bible says, toward heaven as he went up. Behold, two men stood by in white apparel, which said, you men of Galilee. In other words, this group that's left. Why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go up into heaven. Oh, he's coming back. Coming back. One other one I would add to this list. I want you to consider his invitation. Consider Jesus' invitation. In Matthew 11, verse 28, Jesus said, come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Come to me. There's no invitation. For I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest to your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. So consider Jesus' invitation. I put in your notes Jesus' consideration of us deserves our consideration of him. So the last thing we would say, consider what a privilege it is to become a Christian. Give that consideration. By all those definitions of that word, consider, ponder, think about it, scrutinize. Give Christianity consideration. Otherwise, you become weak. Jesus said in Luke 6, verse 46, call me Lord, and do not the things I say. It's a good question. Why do you call me Lord? And don't do it. So we're going to sing a song of encouragement, a song of invitation, a song of exhortation. Ye who are weary, may come. Please come. If you're subject to that invitation, you've not been born again. You're a member of the New Testament Church. You've heard the good news. You may have been given Jesus some considerations, and now you believe that he's the Christ, the Son of God. You're willing to turn your life around. Confess your faith that Jesus is God's Son. You can be baptized for a reason of sin. Rise to walk in newness of life, as the Apostle Paul said. So that's the invitation. All ye who are labor and are weary, come to me, Jesus. You'll find rest. Let's stand together and sing.